grew up on a council estate in a northern industrial town. Most of his clothes were hand-me-downs from his brothers and his cousins. There was never any spare money in the home because his father went straight to the pub in the evening on payday. And Bob was 16 years old before he ever owned a brand new pair of shoes. He went to technical college, he learned a trade, and worked for a few years for a company. And then at the age of 21, he started his own business. He is now 76 years old, and he sold his company for an absolute fortune about 5 years ago. He is very rich and lives in luxury in retirement. And if you ever get to talk to him, he will tell you, "No one ever gave me anything. Everything I have is due to my own hard work. Looking back, I was probably the best kid at my school. I had natural ability and a great business brain. No one ever gave me anything. I am what I am through my own effort and hard work." How does Bob compare to the Apostle Paul? What did the Apostle Paul say about himself? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he writes, "I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Think about the comparison between Bob and Paul. Bob says, "I was probably the best kid at my school." The Apostle Paul said, "I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle." Bob says, "No one ever gave me anything." The Apostle Paul said, "God's grace given to me had a great effect." Bob says, "I am what I am through my own effort and hard work." The Apostle Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." What about us? What about you? What are you? And how have you become what you are? The Apostle Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Can we move on, please, to our next slide? John Newton wrote the famous hymn, "Amazing Grace." And you know the words off by heart. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And a few weeks ago at the house group, we asked the question, what does grace sound like? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But what is the sound of grace? What does grace sound like? We had an interesting discussion and everyone contributed something. Now, some people were not sure what I meant by the question. That's an age-old problem. My questions are sometimes difficult to understand. But, you know, did I mean in the sense of an audible sound or in another sense? Well, I chose to leave the question open and we had to work on some of the answers because we got massive, great long answers. We had to shove them into a little space so that I could record them. And here are some of the answers that we came up with, working together as a team at the house group. Grace sounds like receiving mercy and showing mercy. Don't you love that one? Grace sounds like receiving and giving away mercy. You've got to get it that grace only works if we receive it and if we give it away. Grace is not a one-way street. We can't only receive and receive and receive. We've got to be giving as well. Grace sounds like forgiveness. Grace sounds like being calm, said someone. Freedom to become what God wants us to be. The freedom to dance with the joy of the Lord. We also worked on this one and we came up with this together, I think. Grace sounds like something that is free, but it is not cheap. Sounds like something that is free, but it is not cheap. Grace sounds like Jesus' words when he said to the thief on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Grace sounds like the life that God gives to us. Grace sounds like God's riches at Christ's expense. Spelling out the word grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. But someone also said, grace sounds like the opportunity to suffer for Christ. And interwoven with that, grace sounds like joy in suffering for Christ. And we did get some answers too in the form of audible sounds. Grace sounds like a waterfall, someone said. Grace sounds like a sigh of relief. You know, a kind of a... Grace sounds like the unlocking of padlocks and chains, setting people free. And grace sounds like the absence of the sound of rocks being thrown. When Jesus said about the woman caught in adultery, "Let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And when Jesus said to the woman, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" At that moment, grace could be heard in the silence. Because when faced with Jesus, the one who taught with authority, there was no sound of rocks being hurled. And then there was the sound of Jesus saying, "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave the life of sin." It was great working together with the house group on these answers. And now it's your turn to do a bit of work as well. Let's move on to the next slide, please. What does grace have in common with Marmite? Now, there's no prizes for saying you either love it or you hate it. That's not the question. What does grace have in common with Marmite? The question is, why do people either love grace or hate grace? I hope the question makes sense. If it doesn't, well, that's a well-known problem with my questions. You'll just have to try and work out what the question means and think of an answer. Why do people either love grace or hate grace? Now, of course, that's based on the assumption that people do either love or hate. Well, I would like to suggest that, yes, people do either love or hate grace. The question is, why do people either love grace or hate grace? So what I'd like to do is ask you, would you turn to someone nearby you or to a few people nearby? Let's have a little chat for a few minutes. Why do people either love grace or hate grace? And we'll get some feedback from you in a moment. Let's have some answers. Why do people either love grace or hate it? Some people don't love grace because they don't believe in it. other people do love grace. You've got to believe in grace to love grace. What an amazing answer. Thank you. Some people don't like grace when it's their enemies who are getting grace. Some people don't like grace when it's someone else, particularly their enemies, who are on the receiving end of grace. That people don't feel they deserve grace. They're not worthy. And that's why they hate. So that sense that people resent other people getting something for nothing. Grace is free, and people like to pretend that they have earned, they have worked. I've got to try and remember how to say that one back. So, yeah, I mean, either people are saved or they're not. And if they're saved, they love grace because it's by grace that they've been saved. But if they're not saved, they hate grace. And, okay, you heard that, yeah? It's nice and good when we receive grace from the Lord, but perhaps we hate it when we have to extend grace to other people. Thank you. Look, I mean, I reckon this, that every person on the face of planet Earth fits into one of two categories. You either love grace or you hate grace. You either live by grace or you die outside of grace. You either embrace grace for yourself and for others, or you reject grace for other people and for yourself too. And Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And for that reason, when we ask the question, what does grace sound like? The real answer and the true answer has to start with the clarification that the sound of grace depends on the one who hears it. That grace sounds differently to different people. The way that grace sounds depends on the person who hears it. And so we've got a few examples from Scripture. Can we go to the next slide, please? Yeah, that's it. How did grace sound to the younger brother? And how did grace sound to the older brother? Of course, we're talking about the well-known parable of the lost, the wasteful, the prodigal son. And I believe you all know the story, the parable, so we're not going to do the story. We'll just jump in straight away at verse 17, Luke chapter 15, verse 17. When the younger son, who has been away and wasted everything, he comes to his senses. So this is Luke 15, verse 17. When the younger son came to his senses, he said, many of my hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will go back to my father. So first of all, I would say from this account, grace sounds like the opportunity to go back home. The opportunity to go back home to God Father. Without grace, there's not even any point of imagining that we can go back home. But grace allows us to go back home. I will set out and go back to my Father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy. Second thing I would say, grace sounds like the liberty to be honest. You, Fiona, were talking about freedom, the liberty to be honest. The liberty to say, I am no longer worthy. In fact, I've never been worthy. What a God of grace we have who allows us to come and say, I am not worthy. God, by his grace, gives us his worthiness, his righteousness. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And the father ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Did grace sound like at that point? It sounded like the sound of running feet. Not a teenager, not an athlete, but rather a heavy, plodding, running of feet. Because dad's getting on in years. But dad is running to his son. And then there's the sound of bracing. Even the sound of kiss. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. What does grace sound like at this point? Grace sounds like urgency. The father who's been waiting all these years for his son to return, at this point, the father says, quick. It is urgent. Grace sounds like urgency. And he says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. What does grace sound like now? Grace sounds like a reason for a celebration. Grace sounds like an excuse for a party. Well, not an excuse. Reason. A motivation to celebrate. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Finally, what does grace sound like here? In the words of the father, grace sounds like a life-changing event. Everything has changed. This son of mine who was dead and lost has been found. And he is alive. It is a life-changing event. But as we've already said, grace depends on the person who hears it. You notice you've got to jump a few verses. Let's jump to verse 28. What did grace sound like to the older brother? I'll tell you what. To the older brother, grace sounded like a reason to be angry. Grace sounded unfair. Grace sounded wrong, even immoral. The elder brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. Grace sounded like a reason to be angry. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with your friends. And the inference here is, and now you're killing the fatted calf, way bigger than a goat. It's unfair. Tell you what, if we're going to embrace grace, we're going to have to understand that grace is unfair. It's unfair because Jesus went to the cross in our place. Jesus took the punishment that we should have taken. Yes, grace is unfair. But let us embrace unfair grace for ourselves, and let us embrace ungrace fair for others. Or maybe let's use John Newton's wording. Not call it unfair. Call it amazing. Amazing grace. The fact that God forgives me and he forgives other people. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property. Squandering property is immoral, right? Squandering property with prostitutes, it is immoral. when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes in an immoral way, you kill the fattened calf for him, and you too act in an immoral way. Because if what he did was immoral, aren't you rewarding him? No. I'm forgiving. See, grace doesn't reward sin. Grace forgives sin. We've got to understand that for ourselves, and we've got to understand that for the people around us. Let's move on to our next slide, please. How does grace sound to those who are perishing? How does it sound to those who are being saved? So we're getting ready to your point, George. How does grace sound to those who have been called by God? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. You see, the message of the cross, and of course the cross is how we got grace. It was by the death of Christ on the cross that grace came to us. The message of the cross, the message of grace, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. As we've already said, grace sounds differently depending on who it is that's hearing it. Those who are perishing, it sounds like foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it sounds like the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see the comparison? What does grace sound like? It sounds like a stumbling block and foolishness to those who have rejected it. But it sounds like the power of God and the wisdom of God to those who are being saved and to those who are called by God. And if we have been saved and if we have been called by God, then we are also called to be ministers of grace. We are called to be ambassadors of grace. We are called to be advertising agencies for grace. Let's move on to our next slide, please. What did grace sound like to Zacchaeus? What did grace sound like to the journalists, the gossipers? This is in Luke chapter 19, when Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector and very wealthy. And this man, Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Do you see that word there? Gladly. What an important word. What did grace sound like to Zacchaeus? It sounded like glad tidings. It sounded like good news. Jesus is coming to my house. Jesus, by his grace, is willing to enter into my inner place, my home. To Zacchaeus, it sounded like glad tidings and good news. But to all the people who saw this, well, they began to mutter and said, he has gone to be the guest of a sin. To Zacchaeus' grace was a wonderful thing. To all the people looking on, grace was a scandal. Isn't that what we've been talking about all morning? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That is perhaps the definition of grace. When God seeks and saves, grace sounds so extravagant, so wasteful, so wrong, so immoral, unless you are receiving it. And then grace sounds wonderful. And then we're called to extend the grace to other people too. Can we move on, please, to our last slide? What does grace sound like to you? What did grace sound like to biblical characters? What did grace sound like to Paul, the one who persecuted the church? What did it sound like to Peter, the one who denied knowing Jesus? What did it sound like to Ruth, the Moabite? What did it sound like to Rahab, the prostitute? These were all saved and accepted by grace. What about us? What about me? What about you? What does grace sound like to us? Have you been saved by grace? I'll finish with these beautiful words from Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work, those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace we have saved. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we living by grace or are we dying by works? Are we declaring grace or are we promoting our own works? God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us, Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so there is no point anyone boasting. Because we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let us ask ourselves the question one more time. Do we love the sound of grace for ourselves and for the people around us? Are we living by grace, or are we dying by works? Are we living by being grateful for grace, or are we dying by boasting about works? It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. So none of us should boast in, because we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen.